بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده، الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب الله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم الكتاب المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن ورائهم برزق إلى يوم يبعثون. The verse which mentions in regards to the barzakh, the purgatory or the intermediary world, which is supposed to come before the Day of Judgment. There are a lot of questions in regards to this world. Where does it exist? What happens in this world? And what is the best way of entering this world? How we will benefit? How long this world is? In order to look into the phenomena of barzakh, it is important to focus upon the traditions of Ahlul Bayt and how Quran and how exegists have given an explanation of these verses. The reason because is that our knowledge is very limited and we have to rely upon those individuals who are knowledgeable. Prior to entering into the discussions of barzakh, I just wanted to point out to one of the key stage before a person enters into barzakh, which is death and the funeral that takes place. Death itself, it's a topic in itself. Just wanted to point out to the tashi of the mayyat, the funeral. In that regard, there's so much amount of emphasis by Masumin alayhi salam to attend from a Islamic law point of view, from the Shari'i point of view. It's wajib, as we all know, and one really have to go and attend whenever a funeral is taking place, as it's a wajib kifai, meaning that when a person who is Muslim died, another person is taking care of the ghusl kafan and salatul mayyit and dafan, then it is not obligatory. However, it's obligatory upon all Muslims to attend. If another Muslim is participating and taking care of that, then it doesn't become obligatory, but it becomes highly, highly recommended, to the extent that the Masumin have said that a person who attends the funeral and who gives shoulder to the mayyat, the sins, the kabair, the greater sins will be forgiven of him. We don't really find this strong of a riwayat in which it says the greater sins are forgiven. But in this particular riwayat, it says a person who gives shoulder to a mayyat, his greater sins are forgiven. The other is where it says whatsoever a person is doing dua for the mayyat, that dua will be answered in regards to him. So any dua of forgiveness, any dua for him to be in the best place in Jannat, Barzaki, and hereafter as well, whatever he's remembering this mayyat whom he's attending the funeral, all of the duas that he's doing for the mayyat, it will be mustajab for him, meaning that he will also have the same rewards. The other thing, the Imam says that when you are attending a funeral, when you are giving the shoulder to the mayyat, imagine yourself to be in the tabut, imagine yourself there. And as the mayyat is asking the angels that give us an opportunity that we go back, as the verse points out to, when that hour of death comes, when the angels come, they will say that give us the time that will give us a respite, a time that will go back and we do the good amal. So the Imam is saying that, you know, as the mayyat is asking for some lineage, for some time, that they go back and do amal, imagine yourself that you are in the tabut and you've been given that time, now you are alive to do all the amale saleh, all the good actions that you are supposed to do. So this was just a brief into the importance of funeral, how important it is that we Muslims must attend the funeral. Now, we move further in regards to barzakh. As the verse which I recited, which is وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَقٌ إِلَى يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ, there is a period which is called barzakh will appear إِلَى يَوْمْ, إِلَى till the day, which is he becomes again mab'us. Again he's, you know, raised, he's been given that level where he stands in terms of his action, in terms of his amal. Barzakh, as we said, it's a mysterious world, mysterious realm. And if we kind of gather the hadith of Masumin alayhim salam in regards to this world, we can comprehend, we can understand few things. You would notice that the way how the Masumin have described into specifics of how barzakh is, but nevertheless, when we at the end of the program, perhaps we might have some understanding of it, hopefully inshallah, it is like, for instance, when you have to go to a place and you have a map and you look at the map or navigator or whatever, but you are dropped in the middle of the jungle of Amazon or the place that you have to go, still it is very mysterious and dangerous compared to what you're reading in a map. When you're really driving to the goal that you're going there, actually the feeling and how it will be is very different. But this is just a prep. This is just sort of like reading the map, what is supposed to come. It gives us an opportunity to prepare ourselves, to seek forgiveness, and get ready for this journey that we all have to do inevitably. As soon as a person leaves this world, his ruh is transferred into a different realm, into a different world, which they regarded as barzakh. The visualization of the next world already starts for him as he is still in this world, because he has come closer to that world. So he starts seeing things. We might have noticed that many of our elders, while leaving this world, have talked about, you know, you haven't seen the Ahl-e Bayt are already here. You know, a patient who is unable to sit on his in the hospital bed or the bed that he's lying, all of a sudden he sits in respect of the Masumeen and he utters and say things that, can't you respect them, they are already here. So even before a person enters into that spiritual realm, into that barzakhi realm, he started seeing beings or figures that live in the spiritual or barzakhi world. There's a department called Near Death Experience, NDE, established here in America, and most of the hospitals they have an office in order to record what happens when a person is about to die. And they all have recorded, you know, for example, you know, a near-death experience, how and what happened, how they faced it. The people were operating, the doctors were operating, and I was up there watching them that they are operating. Or they have recorded such as, you know, a tunnel and a light, and they are moving in that direction. Or they have mentioned that they saw their Pope or their religious figures, that they came, or they recorded that there were some, you know, being, some people or even family members that they were speaking to each other while I was out of my body, and they were speaking in a very, very different language that I couldn't figure it out what they were talking. Things like that have been even clinically recorded by the Department of NDE. We find similar traditions in regards to the experiences that a person who is about to die and entering into barzakh have. But as a conventional understanding, or as a layman's understanding of barzakh, is that, you know, when a person is driving a car and he comes out of this car and then he turns the engine off and he sits in another car, you know, to continue his journey, for example. So the nafs and the soul in this body, you know, basically as this body is no longer fit to travel any further, it leaves it here. Then this nafs goes to another body, which is fit for that realm, for that world, to really continue his journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the next world, which is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah himself says that, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. You know, you're toiling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're on a journey to really, every human being, every human soul is on a journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is just an example that, you know, this body is not capable to continue in that realm of barzakh. So it comes out from this body and it enters into another body. Another example given that we could comprehend is the example of a dream. That when a person is on his bed, but he dreams, he suffers, or he enjoys the pleasures as well, and he has a form there in that lucid, in that dream world. He has a form, he has a body, but at the same time he's suffering and also enjoying the pleasure as well, regardless of whether he be on in a state or on a bed that is, you know, $1 million bed. But in his dream, if he's suffering, he's suffering. So therefore, regardless of this body, if it, you know, deteriorates or decomposes, or it remains intact, like some of the bodies of the awliya, it doesn't really matter. But it enters into a new body, and which is basically the body for that realm, for that barzakhi realm, for that spiritual realm. There are three categories of souls in barzakh. One are those in regards to as-sabiqun, as-sabiqun, and they have already the foremost one, and they are already in the paradise of barzakh, in the jannat of barzakh. As in one of the letters of Amirul Mumineen, which says to his son that qabr, you know, grave, is rawdatun min riyad al-jannah, is a rawda, it's a shrine or it's a place from which is part of the Jannah itself. So those who are the sabiqoon, you know, they already enter the realm of paradise. You know, they already benefit from that Jannah that is there. And at the same time, there are certain individuals who are kafir. And for them, it is also very clear, in according to the verse, that they enter the hellfire right away, the hell of barzakh, not of the hereafter. Because hereafter means, here means whatever is here. Meaning that all the earth and moon and sun, everything have to cease. Everything have to be, you know, basically have to have that death. And then it enters into another stage. Kullu nafsin dhaiqatul maut. You know, every, nafs, every being have to taste death. And then after which they enters into a different world altogether. That's hereafter. That's in the state where we are talking about Day of Judgment. Anyway, now going back onto, so there's one category who already in a bliss, enjoy the pleasure. There's another category who are straight away, as soon as they leave this world, they enter into the hell of barzakh and they suffer there. Then you have the mediocre ones, that their decision is still undecided, you know, what is going to happen in regards to them. So they go into a state of limbo, into a state of long sleep. Basically, they are in the state of long sleep, which in itself is quite, horrific to really think of, that such a long sleep that still people are sleeping, like in a state of a coma, you know. So you have these three categories. Now let's look at some of the examples in regards to the entrance into barzakh after a person dies. What really happens? Obviously, in this worldly plane, you have, you know, ghusl, kafan, mayyit, salat al-mayyit. This is the preparation of the body that is done. However, he has already gone in barzakh. The soul is already in barzakh. And after that is the, you know, burying of the mayyit. There's one incident reported by Allama Tehrani, a student of Allama Tabatabai in Ma'at Shanasi. There's about, I think, about 10 volume about the Day of Judgment, which it talks about death and barzakh and the Day of Judgment, in which he mentions an incident from one of his students who was a doctor by profession. And he used to attend his lessons of ethics, of akhlaq. And he one day he came running, and he reports that I had a very strange witnessing as I was, coming to your lesson, and I saw this incident. And he reports that there was a mayyit, and I saw a black dog sitting on this dead body. And as it is usually the habit to take the dead body and circumbate the grave of the masumeen or take it inside for the barakah, as soon as this funeral reaches the gate of the shrine of Amirul Mu'mineen, this black dog jumps down from this mayyat and he sits there. And they took the mayyat inside and the tawaf, or even I think they do the salat usually in the sahan. And then the mayyat was brought back, and this dead dog once again goes on top of this body and sits on it. And then, he was shocked to see this, and he explains this is like the spiritual unveiling or the mukashifa of this doctor. The ustad, he interprets that this was really his soul, his nafs. And as that place, that vicinity is a pure vicinity, and najasat can't go inside, so the soul stayed outside, but they washed the body, they did the ghusl kafan, so they took it inside and they brought it back. And the soul once again goes with the body till the grave. So, points out to once again what we make of ourselves and our soul. That would be another discussion in itself, and how can our soul take these different forms as it is from a very subtle material. It's not a hard material like our body, or it's not pure as our spirit, but our soul is a very khamiri, it's like a subtle material which we make of with our actions. So leaving that aside, now the questioning of the grave. As they say that once, the dead body is laid inside the grave, or once it enters into the realm of barzakh, you have the khutbah of our fourth imam, where he used to recite in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and he used to remind people, and he used to say that, do you know what would be the questioning of the grave from this nakir and munkir? Now this munkir or nakir or nakir or munkir, which is known usually by all of us, are these two malak, are these two angels who are designated, who are there to really question us. Now, these angels are either very dreadful, very scary, or they are really mubashir or bashir. They are the one who give good news, depending on our actions. Because angels are pure being, and for pure being, they cannot imagine that anyone could go against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are that pure. So when they face or when they see people who are gone against the will of God, for them, it is really against their nature. So they become very angry and upset, with the soul. Apart from that, like we said, this is our own, in a way, reflections in these pure beings that have come to ask and question us. And Imam would kind of warn people in Masjid al-Nabawi that the first thing that these two angels will ask is that, have you prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Have you prayed one God or not? Then is in regards to the maktab, in regards to the Prophet, in regards to deen, in regards to the book, in regards to, the imams, in regards to where did the person have spent his time in his life. Very similar to what we see in talqeen of the mayyit. Now, after this questioning, obviously the level where this angel, where this individual is, this person is, he's placed in that level exactly on where he belongs in accordance to his capacity, in accordance to his capacity to really be fit in that zone. You know, a child is not born unless his lungs are developed and he has the ability to breathe. If he doesn't have the ability to breathe after being, if the lungs are not developed, the child will die. So therefore, here is the same aspect, but on a greater consciousness. Here as well, everything is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the barzakhi realm is the whole nizam, the whole system is run by angels, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And it is more conscious, it is more apparent compared to this world here. So this is just to give an example that as the child is undeveloped and not fit to breathe, it will die. So in the same fashion, these souls that are leaving barzakh, and if there be possibility that they can't fit on that level of their perfection even, you know, so they, if they are put on a very higher level of nur, that will really destroy them, that will really, you know, burn them, so to speak. It is very much required that they're placed in a level where they fit. And from there, they continue their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's all nothing but that preparation. It's all because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever they are placed. Traditions reports in regards to Mizan al-Hikmah is the reference. And most of our talk is based on, there's a book called Ma'at Shanasi of Ayatollah Mohsin Qaraati. That's where I have extracted our discussions from, this talk from. So here in Mizan al-Hikmah, it mentions that when a soul enters barzakh, he will have family members who have already died there. He will meet them, he will visit them. It's a social setup, the way we have a social setup here. To the extent that those who have gone earlier would question about their family members who haven't joined them. And if this new soul who have entered barzakh and says that, oh, he died long time ago, and these individuals would say, how come he did not reach us? That means that he has fallen down. So even this communication exists. To the extent that as soon as the soul enters into barzakh, the family members would say that he has done a very long journey. As it is, as he is in a state of jet lag, it is required that he rest. So that resting period is also provided to that soul. After he rest, you know, he gradually get used to this new body, this new form, this new place that he is in, and then he starts to communicate. Just like how a child is born here, he's completely unaware of what color means, what speech means, what light means, what traveling means, what crawling means, what walking means, what digestion means. So in the same fashion, when that soul enters that realm, gradually get used to it, and then he would communicate, he would move. To the extent those who are the sabiqun as-sabiqun, those who are the closest one, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when would Day of Judgment will happen, and what we've been promised, which is the Jannah and Paradise and meeting, and we will enter there. So as soon as the soul enters that realm, the question and answer and the level he belongs to, he's placed there. Obviously for Mumineen, those who are the Sabiqun as-Sabiqun, Masumeen have said, you know, they will be in that realm. An incident or a dream of Ayatollah Kashani, who leads the Friday prayers in Tehran, he mentioned after the Shahadat of Baqir Hakim, in his Friday prayer he mentioned this, that he had this dream right after, where Shahid Baqir Sadr is waiting outside a room, and as soon as Baqir Hakim arrives, he embraces him. This is after the Shahadat of Baqir Hakim. He embraces him and he says, I've been waiting for you. Let's go and we have to visit Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, who was inside the room. So as soon as Shahid Baqir Hakim comes, he meets Baqir Sadr and they go visit Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. So therefore, that realm of barzakh is there. The Masumeen are there. And Aghay Jawadi Amali mentions in one of his sermons that once in the whole year, but this year is year Malakuti, year Barzaki, that the Mumineen will have a chance to look at the face of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. So once a year they are giving that opportunity to do so. But obviously there are those ones who are shuhada, those ones who are, you know, sabiqun as-sabiqun, they are really in the jiwar nabiyyik alayhi wa alayhim as-salam. That's what we ask in the taqibat of Maghrib. We say, you know, that, oh Allah, make me in the vicinity, in the neighborhood of the Prophet and the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam. So there are many people who are there, but that requires a good loan, a good mortgage, you know, and all that, right? In this dunya is the same. You know, if you want a better place to be, you have to work for it. And the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that. If you want a better place in the hereafter, one really have to work for it. So now in regards to the azab of barzakh, you know, what are the different stages of azab? In regards to azab, it's been mentioned that those who are kuffar, those who denied, those who lied, they have their own neighborhood as well. And it's a state of complete insecurity. It's a state of complete darkness. To the extent, like for example, you know, Saddam was already there, and all of a sudden Gaddafi enters there. In this two room, they will be fighting with each other. They will be, oh, you know, we were already with Fir'aun, we were already with, you know, all of these individuals who were kind of tyrants and doing zulm on their people, usurping their rights, so on and so forth, you know, and all of a sudden now another joins them. So it creates that havoc, it creates that, you know, it's insecurity. They are insecure of each other to the extent they will, you know, use bad language against each other. They will fight with each other to the extent the angels will come and separate them. But still they will have to live there in this state of insecurity and instability and in utter darkness. Plus the verse says that, you know, in the morning they have this fire hour, you know, fire alarm, you know, fire, which enters their grave, and in the evening as well. So their grave is filled with fire in the morning, and their grave is filled with fire in the evening till they are raised on the Day of Judgment. You know, that is a different story altogether. So, but they are placed on that level where they really belong to in regards to their what they have acquired in this world. Few reasons of azab which are mentioned by the Masumeen, and then few points in regards to those actions which are needed for barzakh, and then we will continue in perhaps in our next program. First, in regards to those who will face trouble in barzakh. Very famous hadith, we all know, the sixth imam have said, and that I'm worried for my followers in regards to barzakh. In this very hadith, he says that those who count salat as little, regarding salat, belittling the salat. Not that, you know, forget not praying salat, that is something else. You know, a person prays salat, but he regards it as, you know, without ahmiyat. Shaykh Mutahri gives an example. Somebody knocks your door. You know, when you go to attend him, the clothes you're wearing, you know, maybe a t-shirt or a short or something at home, you know, all of a sudden somebody comes, you put it on, you know, proper clothes, and you open the door, you know, so that you could see him. No matter how ill-cultured you are, still you wear something. You know, you might be saying that, oh, here, you know, in America we all wear shorts and t-shirts, and, you know, there is, obviously, there are limits and levels of it. So a person who is not wearing a shirt at all, obviously he will at least put on something, you know, to open the door. Or even if he has gone, he knows that he will be embarrassed from inside. Oh, I should have put on something. You know, he would at least acknowledge that. So this really means that there is some truth to it. You know, we can't deny that. In whatever state he goes, and if he's in a not proper clothing, he would be embarrassed. You know, for example, if he goes there in a not proper clothes, and all of a sudden there is, you know, somebody who is, you know, very, his CEO or his company director or somebody showed up for a surprise, he would be embarrassed. So this really means that, you know, there's a thing called ethics, there's a thing called moral, akhlaq, which is in the nature of insan. So now, going back onto the example given by Shaheed, he says that it is like that. you know, when you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Salat, obviously you should have proper clothing. You know, perfume yourself. Wear, those clothes which are mustahab, you know, have a special designated place where you should pray. You know, everything is interrelated with each other. Like, for example, they say, I was reading the traditions in regards to kafan, they say you should make your kafan the ihram that you have used for Hajj, so that there is less of a hazab, you know, less of a azab, or there is reward for it, what you have done. Or, for example, it says, when the soul is about to depart, take him to the place where he always used to pray, so that his soul leaves the body easily. So everything is related to each other. It's interrelated. It's like, you know, you have a beautiful Persian rug, and if you take one thread out, those who are then expert in recognizing, you know, what rug is good, they would say that, oh, see, there is one thread missing there. We might not be able to see it, but those who are experts in it, they would. So obviously we are talking about malaika here. So here it says, those who regard salat as little, you know, it could be the way I pray it, the place I pray it, the clothing I pray in, I don't pay importance to it. While I'm praying it, my mind is wandering around. You know, all of these things need to improve. You know, maybe I'm watching a TV and I don't want to, the prayer of Azan time came, but I don't want to get up and leave, for example. The second is not helping those who are in need. You know, those who are in need, mustadafin, those who are weak, you're not helping them. You overlook their demands and desires and what they want in terms of when they are in need. Many, you know, incidents been reported in regards to the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, corrected the Prophet's action by giving them long, punishments, or by teaching them, by making them suffer a bit. For example, in regards to Hadith Yaqub, the fourth Imam says that in Tafsir of Namuna Aghay Makarim, in the Tafsir of Surah Yusuf, he mentions that as Hazrat Yaqub was having a meal with his family, a person came at the door at night and he was hungry, and he asked for some help, but Hazrat Yaqub was still busy with his family members, and he never overlook the demands of the needy. He would always attend to, but this night, you know, he became a bit forgetful, and then we took Yusuf from him to really teach him a lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, this is all imtihan, is for a person who is capable of giving imtihan. You know, if I'm not capable of giving imtihan, where is the question of imtihan? So if I'm capable of giving imtihan, Allah takes imtihan. And wallah, when Allah takes imtihan, obviously there is result. Obviously He raises the darajat. He raises the level of those people. You know, like this awliya and anbiya, you know, they were given imtihan. This, you know, they realize that they haven't done, the way, they haven't functioned the way they should have functioned. They rectified it, they seek forgiveness, and their darajat was elevated. So everything is beautifully interrelated. So a person who is in need and a person overlooks, then obviously, he was the one who would kind of face a bit of trouble in barzakh. And it is not only financial, you know, many times it's just sitting with them, speaking to them, you know, consolidating them, advising them. This is all nothing but, you know, helping a needy person, you know, a person who is in need. You know, it could be a child, you know, who is walking. It could be a person who wants to cross the street. You know, you watch it, you help him cross the street. But sometimes, you know, you just see it, but you become ghafil, or you're too busy, you know, shopping or doing something that you don't really. So these are the things that one have to really pay attention to. Then, ghibat, backbiting. Oh, you know, tell me about it. You know, there's a clear verse in regards to that, that it's eating like dead flesh, which that is a topic in itself, which we don't really get into. And Imam says that there are two two major causes of the azab of barzakh. You know, one of them is this, you know, backbiting, and also which have an offshoot of backbiting, they call it sukhanchini, which means, you know, listening from here, going to another place and quoting what was happening here, what's been said here, just to create that rift or ikhtilafat and all that, you know. And the, you know, fifth thing, because we got the, you know, Chinese whisperer, you know, speaking here and there and taking words from one place to the other, you know, which included in that as number four. Fifth thing is those people who do not pay attention to taharat and najasat. You know, things which are tahir, things which are pure, doesn't pay attention to najasat, things which are najis, to the extent Imam goes to depict the tarashuat, meaning that which really drips out. You know, when a person uses the restroom, doesn't wash, you know, now I'm mentioning here because this is a problem where, for example, a person stands up and, you know, urinate, which is a karahat and to shadid, you know, it's extensively disliked from Islamic ethics, from Islamic moral point of view. And a person who doesn't pay attention to najasat and taharat, you know, he will suffer in barzakh. Obviously, barzakh is a realm, it's a pure realm. So the more a person is geared towards purifying himself, you know, from a zahiri point of view, from a batini point of view, the more he will be in a beautiful state. The sixth thing which points out to is bad conduct with the spouses. Same applies in both ways. You all know the incident of Sa'd ibn Maaz, the companion of the Prophet. Prophet went when he hears the report of his death, the news of his death, leaves the chamber without na'lain, without shoes, without, goes there, prays for the mayyat, namaz-e mayyat, and the mother says that, what a beautiful, enjoying the bliss of gardens of bliss and enjoying the pleasure. Prophet replied, hold on. You know, he is at present going through the azab of qabr, the azab in barzakh he is going through there. Why? Because he wasn't, you know, good with his wife. And this is quite astonishing, where Prophet attended it, where the malaike came in the funeral. But even after that, you know, he has to go through azab. See, what direction this is pointing out to is what I am making of my own soul, what character I am adapting, how am I becoming. A person who becomes good, he will be good. So if no matter how much attachment I have with the family of the Prophet, with the Prophet, with namaz, but in terms of my character, in terms of my akhlaq, you know, I am bad, so that's what I'm making of myself. So it is becoming my second personality, you know. That's what is becoming, a second nature of me. You know, I am good, but my second nature is, you know, maybe I lie, na'uzubillah, or maybe I do zulm, maybe I do something as my second nature. So this has become my second nature, this has become a part of my spirit, my soul. And this has to be, you know, separated from me. If this doesn't separate, then how can I excel towards, you know, towards pure states that are there in barzakh? So somehow this have to be shed. You know, this, my second nature needs to be shed. You know, if I have the second nature as being jealous, if I have the second nature of being arrogant, then Jannat is not my place. You know, if I see another mu'min is on a higher level, you know, I will be jealous of that person, because my second nature is being jealous. You know, so that's not my place in Jannah then. Jannah is a place for those who have no ill character, no jealousy, you know. So now that's what it's pointing in that direction. that if my second nature becomes a person who is, you know, gets angry and upset and yells and at the same time he's a mu'min, you know, at the same time he prays namaz, at the same time he does everything good, when there is majlis of Imam Hussein he cries as well, but that quality has developed in himself. So he needs to really watch that. Then you have the issue of a person who is in barzakh, as we said that it is also for those who are the wives as well, not just husband, is that they say that there are three types or three categories of women who would have ease, peace, pleasure in barzakh. You know, they will enter paradise, there will be relief for them. One is the one who behaves or endure patience vis-a-vis the bad conduct of the spouse. The second is the one who is happy with the earning of the husband, meaning that he doesn't have desires, he doesn't trouble him with whatever economical state the family is, the husband is, she is happy with it. And number three is the one who forgives the mehr, you know, the marriage gift, you know, dowry, which we call it, but it's actually a marriage gift that is given, the mehr. You know, if she forgives that, you know, she will be in a very blissful state in regards to barzakh. Now, as we have entered in regards to the pleasures that a person could have in barzakh, very briefly, I will finish that, and then inshallah we'll end over there. We find many traditions in regards to how people will be benefiting or having a good time in barzakh. First and foremost, I mean, it's undeniable, and that is that وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا You know, بَلْ أَحْيَاهُنْ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ The shuhada. Do not count, you know, those people who have, you know, given life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dead. Rather, they are alive and they are enjoying, they are benefiting, they've been provided the sustenance. And as we know, sustenance in barzakh is something else. The sustenance in this dunya is something that is material. The sustenance in the hereafter is something else. And the sawab, what a person gets, is according to its goal. Meaning that the sustenance in this dunya is food, for example, if we take provided to a person who is in need. So with this, he has sustained himself, which have brought a state of sustainity, a joy and happiness, that thing which is immaterial, which have brought, that is used in barzakh, not the food which is given. So that state which a person have entered by utilization of this food which is provided. That's why we have the culture or the habit or the traditions points out to you should do infaq. You know, you should give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they get the sawab over there. So here, first is shahadat. Then is the second thing mentioned here is tabligh of religion, propagation of faith. You know, different forms and types of propagation that we see today. It's one of the things that is the seerah of the prophets, you know, Anbiya and Awliya, you know, that's where they were here for and to propagate. But once again, all of these different things have to be nicely and well calculated. You know, there's a saying, you know, we went in order to do sawab, but we become kabab. You know, we went in order to do something good, but eventually we burnt ourselves. So, you know, a person wants to do tabligh, but on the contrary, instead of inviting them, you know, they all kind of run away from accepting tashayyu by actions that we do, or sometimes our actions, we call those actions as good and tablighi and religious actions. But these actions, instead of going, people looking at them or while going near them, they will say, what is this? So, second is tablighi, but each and every action, law, you know, behavior have to be well calculated. Then is dying on an eve of Thursday or on a Friday. You know, this person will have bliss in Barzakh. I mean, so much emphasis of a Thursday and Friday, really. You know, these Thursday night and Friday is very important days. This is really pointing in the direction that we really need to be on guard. You know, at least, you know, on a Thursday, on a Friday, in regards to our calculation of our amal, in regards to our dua, in regards to, you know, prayer, so on and so forth, Thursday and Friday. Then it says, number four, a person who pays attention to salat and ruku, as it says, man atamma ruku'ahu lam yudkhiluhu wahshat al-qabr. This comes from our fifth imam. A person who makes his, you know, ruku, salat perfect, you know, he will have no wahsha, he will have no fear of qabr. Then number fifth is the wilayat of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, which is will be a bliss, as Rasulullah Khuda, he himself, Prophet, have said that our love will come, you know, in different stages. Number one is at the time of death, when that angel comes to, you know, take this ruh, our love will come as an aid. Then number two is at a time where the angels are inquiring, the angels are questioning in the grave. Number three is at a time where a person is raised from the grave on the day of judgment. Then number four is when that amal, that sort of, you know, the actions that he has done, the book, is given to him. And number five is at a time of hisab, when they are doing the calculation about his actions. Then obviously is at a time where he is entering the sirat, you know, the another manzil of the hereafter. So these are the few things, but there are many, you know, in regards to the bliss and the good thing that one would have in the levels of Barzakh. For example, you have ziyarat of Imam Hussein, you have recitation of salawat, a person who recites salawat upon the Prophet. Then you have the issue where giving, you know, khairat, doing good actions, that will reach the person. Now this khairat is of two types. One is that I carry out as I'm alive for the deceased who is in Barzakh, he will receive that. And to the extent Imam have said that if you cannot give something, at least pray two rak'ah salat for the marhum and give the sawab to him and he will receive it. And at the same time he said the way marhumin are desperate or looking forward for the sawab from his family members is in the same fashion how a person is about to be drowned and somebody extends a hand and how he is looking forward for that hand, for that help. In the same fashion the marhumin are looking forward for the sawab to be sent in Barzakh. These are the few important events or few important issues that really takes place and happens in Barzakh. And we also pointed out to how a person could acquire sawab, could be in a better state, and at the same time those things which kind of deteriorates, which kind of you know, puts him in a bad place, bad state as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his ultimate grace and mercy give us strength and tawfiq opportunities to do his zikr, to do good in this world for the sake of the masumeen alayhi salam, inshallah, and so that we have the best of the life in this world, the best of the life in barzakh, and also in the hereafter, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi ta'ala.